Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything tabletop role-playing games.
Today we are venturing into the outer plane of Acheron.
One, two.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
Hey, Will. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Where are we going today? We're going to a place, I see.
We are going to a place, one of the outer planes, Acheron. So far this year, we have been spending our time in one of the most chaotic places in the cosmos, the elemental chaos, and covering one of the most chaotic entities as well in Imix. Well, it's time to get super lawful here on the Dungeon Cast, and maybe just a little bit evil. We are headed for the infinite battlefield of Acheron.
Out of the Chouse and into the Acheron.
Indeed. Now, this isn't our first time here. Long ago, we ventured deep within the bowels of Klangor in our infamous Maglubiet episode. And I must tell you all that, yes, we have to make a pit stop there again today, unfortunately.
Gross.
But Maglubiet's Shetrang won't be our primary focus today, but merely one of the many locations brimming with entities, both brutal and regimented. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Oh, I would like to ado just a little
Talk
about Uranus.
Okay.
Because there's a James Webb Space Telescope took a picture of Uranus that had like a lot more rings than I thought.
Shetrangs.
Now, without further ado.
All right, hold on. Let's talk about Shetrang. Because, no, there's this phenomenon that I've noticed that's occurring is every time we discover, not every time, but there's been a couple times where we come across some lore that has a bad name.
Uh-huh, like Shetrang.
I mean, a great name, but a bad name. There's Shetrang. There was the Aster Eater. There's Ball Spawn. But one they're not shying away from. They're still leaning into Ball Spawn.
Leaning into the balls.
Bad idea. But the Aster Eater has been renamed into the Eyemonger. We know this.
Well, it doesn't have all this fucking huge amount of lore connected to it. You don't have to, like, retcon everything.
Right. Well, I've noticed that it is really difficult to find anything on Shetrang anywhere online. The only place where I could still dig it up was in the 3.5 manual of the planes. Everywhere else in 5e stuff or even on any Wikipedia that you could look up with sources, no, not even a single mention of Shetrang. Like, they are trying to erase it. I'm telling you, they're trying to erase it.
They're trying to erase your Shetrang?
They're trying to erase the Shetrang.
I hope you did all those Google searches on in incognito mode.
You know it. The infinite battlefield of Acheron is an outer plane in the Great Wheel cosmology model representing alignments between lawful evil and lawful neutral with an emphasis on law. Acheron is the bridge between the ultimate order of Nirvana, also known as Mechanus, and the regimented evil of the nine hells. And as such, each layer emphasizes order over evil. It is where ignorant armies clash by night. It is the refuse plane of a million failed rebellions. It is a plane of enforced order where conformity is more important than good. The hue and cry of battle is the first sound a soldier hears when arriving on Acheron and the last sound a refugee hears when leaving. This is the heart of what Acheron is: conflict, war, strife, and struggle. Many armies populate Acheron, but leaders are scarce. Truly, rebels without a cause are common on Acheron, whether they're petitioners, mortals, fiends, or celestials.
What the hell? What is this?
It's one of the lower planes.
Okay.
Yeah. Acheron has four layers. The land masses on each layer are metallic blocks of geometric simplicity, the size of nations floating in a sea of air. So it's big floating blocks everywhere.
Isn't that like Mechanus? It's like big floating gears everywhere?
Right, yes.
That's also a neutral plane, huh?
It's the plane right above this one. It's the plane of pure law.
Neutral planes, floaty stuff. Got it.
Gotcha, yeah. These land masses are referred to as cubes, though they are not always cube in shape. Sometimes the cubes of Acheron collide and echoes of past collisions linger throughout the plane, mingling with the ring of a sword on sword as armies clash across the faces of the cubes.
Sheesh.
Acheron hosts many deities, including Wejas, the deity of death and magic, Grumsh, the god of orcs, Maglubiet, the goblin deity, Bane, god of strife, hatred, and tyranny, and Hextor, deity of tyranny and self-proclaimed champion of evil.
I like the names of all these things.
I do, too.
Pretty good.
I do, too. The cubes that make up each of the four layers of Acheron are pitted and scarred with cracks and dents from their many collisions and craters from their many battles. On the orderly plane of Acheron, the cubes always rust or fracture along straight lines and at right angles. Some of the cubes are only a few hundred feet on a side, but others are big enough for whole cities and kingdoms. Geometric shapes other than cubes exist, though they are rare. The plane is lighted by a gray fluctuating illumination that varies slightly between bright moonlight and a dark cloudy day.
It's a few hundred meters for anybody curious about how many a few hundred feet is. A few dozen meters.
For sure.
To say.
Okay. The dance of the blocks of Acheron is meticulous and orderly in its own violent way, and creatures of high intelligence can usually discern a pattern for an area by studying the motions. It is said that gravity pulls toward the center of the blocks, but in practical terms, gravity pulls perpendicularly to each face. The difference being, like, if it pulled to the center, it would just, every block would inevitably become a sphere.
Yeah, okay. So you can walk on the surface, like, yeah, without feeling weird. Mm. Oh, gravity's a strange thing.
It is, yes. Renegade armies filled with every sort of creature wander the faces of Acheron looking for enemy forces to fight. However, mutiny or madness soon bring down even the strongest military leader, leaving most armies without a true objective other than the destruction of other renegade armies. Sometimes armies of undead or constructs last longer because they are able to mindlessly fulfill their last orders. Armies that have not gone completely mad may still seek a goal, such as the defense of a realm, the procurement of provisions, the overthrow of an imposter king, or any of 100 other causes.
This episode is making me not want to do fantasy physics.
Oh, yeah?
Confusing.
Deserters and petitioners make up many of the renegade armies on Acheron. If soldiers have killed others for a cause they do not believe and killed happily, they might wind up as petitioners on Acheron. Particularly rabid revolutionaries and terrorists slain on the material plane also find their way to Acheron, often as leaders of the roving armies. The renegade commanders cannot rest until they are finally slain and their essence merges with the plane itself.
So they just die and go to where they are?
Yeah, they die, they come to here, and they fight for eternity until they eventually melt into the plane.
Die again?
Yeah.
Weird.
Unfortunately, because most of those causes were unimportant on the plane far from Acheron, even the most steadfast armies soon lose focus and go renegade. A Carrii, a race of evil birds that look like giant quadrupedal kiwis, devils, imps, Fomorians, Rakshasas, dragons, and Ugalis also inhabit Acheron. Rakshasa clans rule several hidden cubes throughout Acheron, all cloaked by powerful illusions. Clockwork creatures from Mechanus keep a few hidden mining colonies scattered throughout the two lowest layers of Acheron.
Okay. I'm going to take a stab at that name. Acheirai.
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 Akira. Acheirai is what I get from that, but Acheirai.
Acheirai?
Acheirai, yeah.
Yeah.
A race of evil birds. You know what a kiwi looks like? The bird kiwi?
Yeah, yeah. The little feet?
Yeah,
the round belly?
It looks like those, but with four long legs and huge.
Four long legs and huge.
Yeah.
So cute and terrifying at the same time.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
I hate birds.
I know, I forget.
As a general rule.
Dude, this is the plane of birds, by the way, because finally Acheron holds enormous flocks of birds.
Oh my God, fuck this place.
Ravens, vultures, gulls, bloodhawks, and swallows tumble on the wind. Sated on the carnage of many battlefields.
I hate this place on principle.
You do.
I also hate this place for the way I know it smells.
Oh, you know it smells.
You know it fucking stinks. You know that bird is shitting, and then it's finding the local cube. The shit is finding the local cube and just like changing direction to adhere to the gravity of that face.
Yep, yep, yep.
Gross.
Yeah, for new time listeners, Brian legitimately hates birds.
I do hate birds. Generally speaking, they're disgusting. They're the most disgusting creatures on the planet.
Moving on. The 5e Dungeon Master's Guide has a fun optional rule for player characters adventuring on the plane of Acheron.
I'm also jealous of birds because they can fly.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I like dinosaurs, and birds are dinosaurs.
Mm, I don't have to deal with dinosaurs.
That's true.
Dinosaurs don't shit on my car. I mean, they do.
They do.
I guess. They're ancestors.
Optional rule. Bloodlust. Mm. Acheron rewards a creature for harming other creatures by imbuing that creature with the strength to keep fighting. While on Acheron, a creature gains temporary hit points equal to half its maximum hit point maximum whenever it reduces a hostile creature to zero hit points. That's fun, but also, like, in actual combat, if you run it, it's like, well, your players are probably just going to become invincible, right? Every time they kill something, they get a shit ton of temporary hit points. And, you know, if you're balancing things normally, like, your mobs are never going to kill them to benefit from the same thing. So, I don't know. It's fun on paper. That'd be difficult to balance.
That's Brian the Bird Killer. He's got so much bloodlust flowing through him. He's been fighting for longer than almost anyone here.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, you just keep 1 HP creatures on hand to snap their necks and just keep gaining temporary HP if you're a psycho.
Yeah, I'm losing a fight.
Snapping
seagull necks.
And I
just, like, pull a chicken out. It's like, yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's horrible. I don't actually want to kill birds. That's not what I want to do.
Are you sure? This might be the plane for you.
I eat birds for power. Like many people.
Like many people.
When was the last time you went to Popeye's?
Oh, dude, it's been a while. I love Popeye's chicken. Popeye's chicken is a biznatch.
People were killing each other for... Popeye's chicken is the shit. People were killing each other for their Sandos, like, a couple years ago.
Really? What?
Yeah, there's, like, people, like, fighting for Popeye's chicken sandwiches. You don't remember that?
No, I don't. I don't remember that.
It was, like, a calamity, almost.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a cultural event. A violent one.
Indeed. I like Popeye's chicken. I don't think I'd fight someone for a sandwich, though.
You wouldn't punch a Popeye's employee through a drive-thru window for one?
No.
When they told you they were sold out?
Definitely not.
Yeah, that happened a bunch. That happened a lot more than once.
I believe.
People were fighting each other. They were waiting in line. We're going to look this up.
So it's time to break down Acheron into its various layers,
okay.
Of which it has 4.
All right.
The first, largest, and most populous of its layers is named Avalas. The reason Acheron is sometimes known as the Ironshod Battle Plains of Acheron is due to the characteristics of the first layer, Avalas. The blocks of the top plane are black with a metallic hardness that allows the sounds of battle and troop movements to reverberate loudly. Avalas has the most block-like worlds and the highest population as the armies of the Outer Plains spend their afterlife clashing in neutral territory over differences both subtle and gross.
I'd like to posit Avalas.
Okay. Avalas.
Avalas.
Not Avalas?
Not Avalas. Ass.
All right, we're looking it up. I'm going to figure it out right now.
Okay. The landscape consists of cone-shaped mountains and pits, plus the iron fortresses of the various armies. The only other remarkable feature of this lair is the river Styx that bubbles up from one pit, meanders across 2 or 3 sides of a block, and then disappears down another pit. The Styx does not visit all the blocks, but those it does can be reached by those from other planes capable of traversing its waters. The river Styx is super crazy. It's like
an
interplanar river that goes just through most of the lower planes, right?
All of them. From Pandemonium to Acheron, yeah.
Okay, craziness.
Or from Acheron to Pandemonium, it's unclear. The pronunciation of Avalas or Avalas is not stated on the wiki, and it would take me looking up a particular Dragon magazine from like eons ago to do
see
that.
If they have the pronunciation
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
Do they normally Dragon magazine? Do they
so normally? Dragon magazine every once in a while would print out a article called I pronunciation good.
No way.
Yes,
really?
Yes. And it would have a list of like everything, every god, every plane, everything you can think of.
No way.
Hard to look up. I'd have to actually pull up a PDF, and I'm not sure which number has the PDF. Yeah.
It's we got to find
I
that.
Pronunciation good.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah, it's supposed to be
true. Something Avalos is a thing, but that's like a regular world thing. I don't know. I can't find it either. So,
all right. So Avalos touches the astral plane and has spherical portals to the three adjacent planes, Mechanus, the Nine Hells, and the Concordant Opposition, which is also known as the Outlands. It's where Sigil and the 16 towns, I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah, there's like one the for each outer subsects plane. Of each. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the portals hang at fixed locations in space and pass harmlessly through the blocks of Acheron, becoming inactive while inside a block and reactivating when they reappear. Mm. Anyone emerging from a portal into Acheron will start to fall toward the nearest block and will most likely require some form of flight to avoid high velocity impact. Mm. The portals are activated by touch, and the destination can be determined by the sound it makes when activated. A harmonious chord indicates a portal to Mechanus. A dissonant chord means the Nine Hells, and silence indicates the Concordant Opposition.
Did you mean Mechanus?
I did. The old way. So back in the day, it was just called Nirvana.
But okay.
It was called the Nirvana of Mechanus, and now it's just kind of referred to as Mechanus.
Right.
So I just wanted to be less confusing because we've always just referred to it as Mechanus on the show. Major locations of Avalos. Klangor. Klangor is a cube completely carved and tunneled to house a single great set of barracks for the goblin nations and their eternal war against the orcs.
I bet somebody says Klangor.
It might be Klangor because it's a goblin clan, so maybe.
Ah.
But I thought Klang because of everything's made of metal here. So
that's good, too. Yeah. You know, that's a tough one.
It is also the seat of the goblin deity, Maglubiet.
The Gloobs.
The towers and walls of Klangor are arranged with deadly precision to inflict the greatest damage on any attacking force. The air is cold and dry, and breath fogs the air. What regions are not given over to goblin barracks hold wolf warrens for elite goblin riders. Because most of the forces of Klangor are spirit goblins and hobgoblins, no great store of food is necessary. However, some heavily guarded stores are available for mortals, wolves, and other creatures that also reside on Klangor. Brought from off-plane at a hefty price through heavily guarded portals.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive.
Shetrang. The fortress Shetrang blends into the rest of the metal-carved structure of the cube. The great river Lorfang pierces the fortress with five strong bridges providing access between the two sides. The river wells up from a spring, travels a few miles, and then plunges into the cube again. Maglubiet himself lives at the bottom of the plummeting waterfall in a magnificently carved steel cavern dripping with moisture. The goblins fling sacrifices from the top of the waterfall before mounting a great offensive. Usually against Nishrek, the home of the Orc Pantheon.
Sus. They're flinging it. Okay.
Nishrek.
Okay.
This metallic cube houses the Orc Pantheon, the head of which is Grumsh, the one-eyed deity of the orcs. The mildly law-aligned trait is negated on Nishrek because Grumsh himself is chaotic evil. Like Klangor, Nishrek is heavily carved and tunneled and houses great legions of orc troops. Unlike on Klangor, the barracks are chaotically arranged and the tunnels meander. Where Klangor seems grid-like from a distance, Nishrek is swirled with winding streets and trenches and blotchy with haphazardly arranged strongholds. While the orcs under the command of lesser orc deities such as Bogtru or Ilneevil are content to marshal their forces against Klangor, Grumsh pursues his long vendetta against a more distant foe, Corlon Lorethian.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In ages past, Corlon Lorethian put out Grumsh's left eye, a debt that Grumsh always seeks to repay. The fortress towns of Rotting Eye, White Hand, and Three Fang all lie under Grumsh's direct dominion, his residences in each moving between them in a random fashion. Bogtru and Ilneevil control other less fortified towns, while the hidden orc deity Luthic is content to send forth her plagues from deep within the heart of the cube where her realm is said to lie.
Yeah, Grumsh has his eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
What the Grumsh is up with you, he wants to know.
All right, next up is Scourgehold, Hextor's realm. So real quick synopsis on Hextor. Hextor is a Greyhawk deity.
Oh, sick.
He is the archfoe of Herennius, his brother and fellow god of war. His priests are highly militaristic and organized and are oppressive to those who serve under them and merciless to their foes. Hextor is often depicted as a hideous, gray-skinned, six-armed humanoid bearing two large tusks jutting from his lower jaw, wearing armor clad with skulls. He wields a weapon in each hand.
Okay,
so
sick.
Scourgehold is found on a particularly large cube where battle always rages. Hexlore's fortress is a many-walled edifice of iron and stone, bristling with watchtowers and roving siege engines. The innermost structure, the Great Colosseum, is a miles-wide, many-leveled arena of beaten bronze and glass. Here, legions constantly train in the arts of war. Hextor himself, or his avatar, in his visage as a gray-skinned, horrible, six-armed being, often walks the training coliseum, his various weapons awhirl. The mere sight of his symbol of hate and discord, six arrows facing downward in a fan, sends his worshippers into a blood-mad battle frenzy.
Wow. All right.
I like Greyhawk. The stuff's pretty intense.
I do like Greyhawk. It was unhinged for sure.
Yeah, Greyhawk is unhinged and I love it.
There were no boundaries really. It's like I'm just going to put all my craziest shit out there.
Yeah, so I was doing some reading about like the transition from Greyhawk to Forgotten Realms as like the default setting, and it is very widely speculated that the main reason that it happened was Greyhawk was Gary Gygax's home game campaign. That's where it all started. Mm-hmm. He left on really bad terms with TSR, and it was at that point that Forgotten Realms had recently popped up, and they decided they wanted to move away from Greyhawk because they didn't want to risk intellectual property issues.
Right.
Yeah, so that's how that happened.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, last up for Avalas is the Black Bastion. Bane's floating fortress is said to be one of the most imperious and terrifying domains in all of Acheron. It was said to be so massive that it strikes out any lingering light in the skies. The magnificent palace is constructed from the darkest metals and woods, like adamantine and ebony, and adorned with lustrous precious stones like jet and obsidian. Bane rules over his realm as an iron-fisted tyrant seated on his throne of skulls. Nevertheless, soldiers from across the plains, particularly devils, flock to serve under his despotic rule. The purpose of all these soldiers is not quite clear, although since Bane has tried before to usurp supreme power, his plans can be easily surmised.
Bane.
You got anything else to add?
Nope.
All right, let's take a short rest.
Okay.
It's the Grand Adventures of Ilion and Beard.
Man, that was crazy. A big fire guy come after you guys. You're dangerous. You can get off my fucking boat.
Yes, it was quite terrifying. But thankfully, we got away. Everything is okay. And it appears that we are approaching a floating portal above the Sea of Fire.
Yeah, I ain't going in there. Y'all can go. Y'all get off fuck on my boat.
Can you at least take us to the portal?
Yeah, I'll take you over there. Okay. I still don't want to see you die.
Ben, how was your painting hand?
Honestly, I'm exhausted. I'm not sure why I'm so tired.
You know what? Take a break.
It's just so hot in this armor. Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm surprised you haven't taken it off, quite frankly.
I just need the ass plate off, really. I'm just going to have that off for a little while. It should be back to normal.
You do what you have to.
Honestly, I think I need to go to bed.
I'm done judging you for the day.
I feel like I'm going to have disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks for a little while.
Although that might be true, we still need to make it that portal, so.
Okay.
You don't need to paint anymore. We're almost there. Oh, right. We're approaching now.
Well, thanks, mysterious boat driver, for helping us live and get to this portal. It's a pleasure, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Don't ask me for money.
Okay,
Oh my God, Bill!
Oh shit!
Whoa,
what's going on?
There's a war zone all around us!
Help me put my ass plate back on! Help me put my ass plate back on! Okay. I don't have my sword anymore! Ilion, I threw it at those guys!
Yeah, why are you throwing your sword? We're gonna need that!
That was a while ago, I don't know!
Okay, let's lay low, and we'll make our way through this war zone to a place of safety.
Who are you two?
Whoa!
Are you here as reinforcements to fight?
Maybe.
Yeah, I notice you are weaponless. Take the spear.
Oh, no.
You take this spear.
No, thank you. I don't need it.
We need both spears. We need both spears.
Yes, we'll take both spears.
Spears. Thank you for the spears.
We're about to jump from this cube to the other cube to go kill those guys. Don't touch that river over there. Let's go. Everybody.
Why are we? Oh, my God. We're doing this.
Alien.
We just got recruited into the armies of Acheron, Ben.
Stay behind me. You're so weak. Jump.
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back.
Indeed we are.
We're in the low. We're keeping it low. If you want to lower planes low. If you want to support Ilian and Beard, you can do so at patreon.com/thedungeoncast.
Boy, I sure hope they got away from Mimics.
Yeah, me too. What do you think they got up to? Well, is it still, sounds pretty hot still.
I have no idea. We're going to find out after the show, and everyone else
you already know. I don't know. It's just this weird time thing. All right.
You ready?
Let's continue on.
All right. That. Now on to the second layer of Acheron, Thuldanin.
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 That's what I said first.
Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. We're good. We nailed it. We got them all.
Thuldanin.
Thuldanin.
The second layer of Acheron
Thuldanin.
Appears.
Thuldanin.
The second layer of Acheron appears much like the first. However, Thuldanin's population is quite small. The cubes of this layer are riddled with pockets and hollows. Surface pits lead down into labyrinthine spaces cluttered with the refuse of every war that has ever been fought.
Ooh, wow.
Broken scraps of a plethora of devices are everywhere. Great ships that have burst asunder, toppled siege engine towers, enormous weapons, steam-driven carriages, flying devices of every description, and contraptions with even more obscure sources of power and purpose can be found within these cubes. Most of the refuse is inoperative, petrified to stone-like immobility by the preservative quality of the layer, which turns everything to stone slowly but surely.
I see.
Scavenging for intact weapons is an occupation for many a team of salvagers and opportunists, because many quality weapons and engines of war scattered throughout the rubble of Thuldanin. Persistent searchers can uncover items of fantastic power and intriguing mechanisms which they could use or at least copy. But why salvagers don't spend too long on Thulden Inn because creatures can be petrified the same as objects.
Oh.
The major realm of note in Thulden Inn is Lodiger's realm of Hammergrim. Now, Lodiger is a lawful evil dwarven deity of the Duergar, and I believe we talked about him briefly in the Duergar episode 1,000 years ago.
Wow, that's so long ago, yeah.
Hammergrim is the divine domain of Lodiger and Deep Duara, his daughter. The evil gnomish god, Erdlin, also burrows its tunnels throughout the foundations of the plane.
Yeah, that's some dwarven-sounding shit if I've ever heard it.
Indeed. Hammergrim is a realm of gray, light gray stone and somber clothing. A grim plain suffused with the pessimism and despair of the Duergar. Or Duergar. I think Duergar is what most people say.
Oh, okay. Duergar.
But for all that, it is also a place of great artisanship, where Duergar smiths perfect the art of forging weapons and armor, both mundane and magical.
Oh, interesting.
Lodiger's Hall within Hammergrim is known as Forge Gloom. Its walls are built of armor pieces, shields, swords, axes, and other martial debris. It has no doors or other means of entrances unless Lodiger wills it so.
You think they would fight, like, people from the Shadow Realm? Or what? That's Shadow Realm.
Shadowfell?
The Shadowfell, yeah.
I mean, there's not really a lot of crossover, but I mean, everything would be real great if they did.
That'd be weird. Well, that's what I mean, is like, if they ever met up, like, for a crossover event, you think they'd war over who gets to be gray still?
I think they would just share the grayness.
They'd be like, I like you. You can stay here
you're
as long
gray,
as you want.
We're gray. We should go to Hades and see what's going on there. They're gray too.
That's true.
Any questions about Thulden Inn, Brian?
Nah, that's pretty sweet. Well, it's pretty gray.
It's pretty gray.
That
one section of it is gray. The rest is stone.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Which is gray.
Which is also gray. You're right, yeah. So next up is Tintibulus. The third layer of Akarat.
Tintibulus.
Ooh, I like that. Tintibulus. I'm going with that.
Let's do it.
Unlike the other layers of Acheron, 4-sided, 5-sided, 8-sided, 9-sided, 12-sided, and other odd-sided solids outnumber 6-sided cubes on Tintibulus. Why didn't they just say non-cubes? Just non-cubes are more numerous. Anyways. The solids are made of gray volcanic stone, each coated with a layer of ash and dust to a depth of several inches, and in some places several feet or more. When collisions occur, the geometric solid fractures along its natural fault lines, splitting into smaller solids. The constant collisions create a ringing bell-like roar throughout the layer at all times. Few creatures live here, petitioners or otherwise, but it is an attractive location to magical researchers for its emptiness and isolation.
Okay. So they can go do all their fucked up stuff here and like not worry about it?
That's the idea. Basically, nothing lives here, everything sucks, and it's really loud and annoying here. That's all there is to this place, really.
It's like living next to the freeway.
Yeah, it's a lot like living next to a freeway. I think the most interesting thing that you would have here is, like, you know, you are on the trail of some mad wizard's bullshit, and it leads you to a secret research facility in Tintibulus, where everything sucks and it's loud, but he's able to set off arcane nuclear explosions, and you need to stop him before he actually takes the nuclear arcane bomb to the primordial plane.
Yeah, you leave here with like extra feet and toes. They're prestidigitated onto you.
Yeah, sure. There you go. All right. Finally, the final layer is Okanthus. And I think that's the only way that most people pronounce this one. Okanthus.
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 Akanthus.
Akanthus. No, it's definitely Okanthus.
It's Akanthus.
The fourth layer of Acheron is lightless, but filled with fast-flying razor-thin shards.
Okay, what?
How nice. Some shards are little more than needles, while others are miles wide.
I don't like any of them.
The largest shards have their own objective gravity, like the cubes of the upper layers, as well as a breathable, if icy cold, atmosphere.
Oh.
The constant blizzard of blade-like shards makes Okanthus inimical to creatures and objects alike. The shards are black ice frozen into thin layers. Their collisions break them into progressively smaller shards, eventually into needles and then dust. The shards all originate from a single source, the night-black boundary of Okanthus, a sheet of infinite magically carved, charged black ice. No one knows whether the ice sheet is a boundary or a barrier between Okanthus and some deeper, more sinister layer.
You breathe this shard dust, It sounds bad.
Yeah, it sounds real bad for the lungs. It's Some say that the ice is the source or destination of the River Styx, and that every memory stolen by the river still exists, frozen into the black ice. Whatever the truth, the ice sheet has objective directional gravity, and it is possible that it is simply a shard of black ice so large that it is mistaken for Arcanthus's boundary.
This is a fairly interesting plane. Mm-hmm. I feel like the most interesting thing about it is the River Styx, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, okay.
That's cool. That lore you just read is fucking sick. Every memory ever stolen by the river still exists.
Right, right.
Frozen in the river.
Frozen, yeah.
I gotta go. That's a fucking plot hook, man. Yeah. That's a plot hook.
I gotta go dig up a memory.
General asshole's fucking super bad idea that he forgot about.
Right.
So we can stop it.
From ever being recovered.
Or get like a wizard's like...
Or I could say like basically like maybe you're caught in a conundrum, right? And the crazy evil archlich is willing to seed his plan if you go get a memory that was stolen from him in Arcanthus. But then you get the memory and it's way more scary and fucked up than the thing he was going to do. And so now you have a catch-22. What do?
Or you get here and you get fucking... wizard nuked by a Vecna booby trap because he already stole all the river secrets.
Yeah, sure.
Why wouldn't Vecna have come plundered this area already, you know?
Well, probably because Weejass is here, and we're going to get into that.
Motherfucking Weejass.
So there are two major locations of note in Arcanthus. The first is called the Cabal Macabre. Weejass, the witch goddess of death and magic, another Greyhawk deity, keeps her realm on Arcanthus. Built on the surface of the boundary ice is a crystalline castle of delicate yet horrifying architecture. It gleams with a pale, heartless light all its own, the only point of light in this otherwise pitch-black lair.
And that's where Weejass lives?
Yes, this is her house.
So when Weejass is in there kicking it, Weejass chilling?
Weejass chilling, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right.
On closer examination, a visitor might note that the translucent outer walls of the ornate castle are crenellated with ice sculptures depicting skeletons of every race in the multiverse.
Oh.
Inside Cabal Macabre, Weejass tests spellcasters kidnapped from across the plains, though no one ever passes her exams.
Weejass testing.
The penalty for failure is death at the goddess's hands, though many of her worshippers consider this a great honor. Weejass spends most of her time away from the castle, walking the boundary ice, and mentally sifting it for memories of lost magic and the memories of death.
Weejass walking.
Within a quarter mile of where she walks, the continual blade storm of Arcanthus is temporarily quelled.
That's almost half a kilometer.
Next up is Zoranor.
Okay.
Zoranor.
Zoronor,
also known as the City of Shadows. Zorno is a mostly deserted city inhabited by bladelings.
What is a bladeling?
The last time bladelings came up was in the Rust Monsters episode.
That wasn't that long ago.
Not that long ago.
Oh, they'd be eating the bladelings or what? Is it their mortal enemy?
No, I don't know why they came up. I just remember they came up and I explained to you that we've never talked about them before and they used to be a race you could play in 4E.
Are you sure it's not Zorano and this whoever wrote it's Australian? Zoranor.
No, it's Zoranor.
No.
Bladelings are humanoid in form, about 6 feet.
That's 1.8 meters.
Tall, covered in sharp metallic spines that grow in patches on their tough metal-hued skin. Bladelings have purple eyes that glitter like ice. A notably xenophobic people, Zoranor is ruled by a priest king whose tenets give some amount of safety to the Bladelings, and thus they obey him fanatically and will defend Zoranor with their lives. Few Bladelings leave their city except as assassins or as travelers.
Okay.
That's all I have on Acheron.
There's a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot
for
here.
For sure. Mm-hmm. It seems like an interesting place to flesh out, really.
Yeah.
Like a nice canvas.
I think so.
I just love the River Styx memory freezing place.
Yeah, I think obviously plane one and plane four are the sexiest of the four planes.
Mm.
I think the rusting or not rusting, the petrifying plane is kind of interesting too. Like, you know, going down there to find like a fabled thing, but you got a time limit to get out.
That could
be a fun adventure. And then plane three is kind of lame. It's just loud and bad, but also I guess there could be magical experiments going on there.
Yeah, like the person, whoever is utilizing that area is what's important, not necessarily the area itself.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, too, is like you don't have to worry about the loudness because like if a wizard has a laboratory in Tintibulus, most likely they've carved out a pocket dimension, which will be kind of separated from the main dimension itself.
Yeah, so, a quiet place to hang out, not in the ethereal plane because it would still be loud.
Right. Yeah, because the sound travels over. Also, the ethereal plane doesn't exist in the outer plane, so that would just be impossible.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Anything you want to add about Acheron? Any questions? Any insights?
Is there a module tied to this? This is all 3.5
stuff. I couldn't find any module specifically tied to Acheron, no. But not that I particularly looked for it either. It's mostly Dragon Magazine and 3.5 manual of the plane stuff. A little bit of 5e stuff. There's not much written in 5e about it. And Acheron doesn't exactly exist in a way that makes sense in 4e. So
didn't really
include that.
I'll start asking you about like sources towards the end of these. Because we do get asked like, hey, where's this info? Like if I want to go read it myself.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool. All right.
Dragon
Magazine kicks ass.
It always does. Let's get ready for a long rest.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Long Rest. This is the part of the show where we have these slippies, and they are for keeping our feet warm and nothing else. And, like, that's just the way it is. And they don't aspire or veer from that path whatsoever.
They're also cube-shaped and metallic.
Yes, and truly neutral. If there's not a foot in it, it's not for that, I guess. I don't know. We started a contest, but we didn't like hash any rules out.
We should really announce this at the beginning of the episode.
That was like an hour ago.
It was a while ago.
No, it was like an hour ago in like our time. It was a week ago for listener time when we announced it.
No, yeah, I'm just saying we should have announced it at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, yeah, that was roughly 30 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're right. So maybe it hasn't officially started yet.
We'll get it going next episode.
Well, no, let's start it officially
now,
this
episode.
And then
we'll also announce it at the beginning.
Yeah, because we have the jar of dice up on YouTube. So if you guys go to YouTube, you can see a jar of dice on our display.
Mm-hmm.
It's cursed dice. It's full of dice from a dice company that I don't fucks with anymore. So I don't roll these.
Also, you probably are able to see photos of it across our social media as well.
Yes, Will has been tasked with posting it. The game is to guess. This is Price is Right rules. You can guess the number of dice in the jar without going over. Then you are the winner. Whoever gets closest wins. I have no idea how many are in here, but we're going to make a YouTube video of us counting the dice. Like I don't ever open this jar.
No.
It's been like this. It's been in the very, very back of most of our videos for a long time, just because it's cool to have a giant jar of dice. It's very big. What do you think? It's like a little bit over a foot tall. Jar?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, the jar's pretty thick. It's got one of those cool metal latch lids.
It does.
And
I see on like preservatives and stuff.
I have filled it up to capacity. There are more than just there's all kinds of dice in here. There are from D2s up to D20s.
Yeah, every kind of dice you can think of.
Yep. Well, not every kind. It's the standard RPG sets, like D&D set, from a D2, which is a coin or like a token, to a D20.
Yes.
There's multiple sets, multiple colors. There are metal dice. There are large D20s. There are mini D20s. Like, it's a very misleading jar.
Yeah, it's not an easy guess.
No.
It's not. You're not going to be able to calculate this one. It's going to be purely a guess.
Yeah, and the way you're going to be able to enter is to what do we want to set entry rules like on? Do we want to run this on YouTube? Leave a YouTube comment with the number of dice.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it.
Or like respond to a social media post with.
Yeah, they can respond to any of the social media posts that I do post, but they can also respond on YouTube.
Okay, so YouTube, or on social media. That's where you're going to be able to put in your guess. Just make it clear that that it's for the contest, I guess. If you just like spit out a random number, like we're not gonna know, right? Or do we?
Yeah, I would say list it as like, I guess this or, mm-hmm. you know.
Contest guess, whatever. Yeah. Make it clear that it's for the contest. Don't just put a number. And we will count your entry. And how long do we want to run this? Like another couple weeks?
I think we should definitely make the winner announcement.
On Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. Fuck it. We'll do it on
Valentine's Day. Because we love you guys.
Because we love you guys.
The winner of this contest will win...
a merch bundle.
A merch bundle that we haven't determined yet what it is. But it'll include our newest Don't Fart in the Underdark merch.
Indeed.
Right?
It will.
It'll be ready by then?
Yeah, it'll be ready by then. And again, to Dustin, if you're still listening, we will do a promo with your store website. I just don't have it on me right now.
Next recording.
We would do it when we get the merch in and we're wearing it, and we'll do a big push for you, man. And thank you again. The designs are awesome. Mm-hmm. And they are listed right now in the store if you want to go there. But yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on social media. We'll post the rules of the contest there as well. More specificity would probably be good. Because I've wanted to run a contest.
We'll hammer
out
the rules, and then next episode we will read a script the details of the rules.
Yeah, we got the rules pretty much. We got it here.
Yeah, made up on the spot. We got it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the rules we do for all our stuff.
That's true.
Next episode, you can expect some clear cut rules for this contest that we stay at the top of the episode.
Yeah.
Social media posts will handle that in the meantime.
Hopefully, the Don't Fart in the Underdark shirts will be here. We'll be wearing them.
Yes. And then you'll know exactly which merch and how much of it we'll be giving away.
That too.
And then we're going at the end of the contest. So on Valentine's Day, we'll drop a video of me and Will counting these dice.
Yes.
So we'll know how much are in here, and everyone will be accountable for how many dice are actually in there.
Indeed.
All right. Where can you find us on social media so people can participate?
You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Mastodon, on Threads, and on Instagram. You can also follow us on Discord. And that's basically it. But all links are in the description.
It's true. They are. All right. Let's see here. Do we have a thumbnail for the ridiculous magic item thing?
That one hasn't aired yet.
Oh, nice.
Nothix just released this week.
Sick. Okay. I was so scared. Okay. No, wait.
Yeah, no, that's next week.
Okay, I'm looking for... Okay. What episode do you want to read comments from?
We could do the ridiculous magic... Oh, no. We just said...
It's not out. We can read Nothix, Ethereal Plane, or... What's did we do that? Ring of Winter?
No, what's the one for that? Just so I know.
Gorgon.
Let's do Nothix.
Okay. I'm pulling up the Nothix comments. And here we go. Oh, okay. So user SK4NG5UD3S says, can you do an episode on holidays in D&D universe?
I guess we could. The thing is, when you say D&D universe, you probably mean Forgotten Realms universe.
Yeah.
And that would be the easiest one to do it for, honestly. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe we'll do it the next holidays.
That would be a cool holiday-themed episode for, like, end of the year.
Yeah.
Why did the Nothic have to close its school? It only had one pupil. Heart. That was from Keith Johnson, 8721.
I appreciate it, Keith.
Epic Thulu says, none of the origins actually conflict. The Netherese did experiments into the Far Realm, resulting in the Arcane Blight appearing. Because the Far Realm connects to all spheres, the Netherese Nothix were scattered to all spheres. Vecna, discovering one, ends up lacing some of his books and notes with the Arcane Blight used when the ink attached to a hidden Gaius, which gives him control over the Nothix he is responsible for. Boom, no conflicts. The Far Realm also ignores time, so even the timeline is negligible. Okay.
Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Sure.
Got a source? No, I don't know. Let's see. Oh, I have a filter on. I was like, there's way more than 5 comments on this. Let's see. Creepy Mike Wazowski threw me. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji, laugh emoji, laugh emoji. Yeah, it was a good one. That was from Derek Matthews. T.L. Bainter says, absolutely love Nothix. Had them as the minions of the big bad in my first campaign. They were a ton of fun to run as solo mini-bosses in early levels, then as a horde later on. Super cool enemies and freaky to boot.
Really cool.
I love campaigns where your hordes or your bad guy boss becomes your horde later.
Yeah.
Power scaling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Jake the Jack says, my theory about their origin is that whenever someone peers too deeply into the Far Realm or studies it trying to understand its secrets and or true nature, they also turn into a Nothic. But also, whenever Vecna became the god of secrets, he gained the powers to see through their eyes, as well as cursing people to turn them into, or to turn into them for learning something they shouldn't have, such as details about Therizdun or Vecna's own plans. Some cultists of Vecna might learn secrets about the Far Realm and turn to into Nothics, but remain devoted to Vecna. That's some scrying shit, if I ever heard it. You got eyes on it, eyes on the prize, eyes on all the prizes. Brian Roberts 783 says, I don't know what the original source is, but I've come across something implying that Vecna origin may also be linked to Therizdun. Since Vecna gained secrets as part of his divine portfolio, he has essentially been tasked with guarding secrets of Therizdun's prison, and anyone who learns too much about the chained god risks being transformed into a Nothic by Vecna to prevent them from being from realizing Therizdun. That's interesting.
Definitely never found any sources that link those two. And I'm sure Vecna would probably keep those secrets, but not because he is particularly trying to protect the cosmos, but because he just likes to keep secrets. And he doesn't want Therizdun to succeed because he wants to conquer the cosmos. So
Raziera says, sorry if I said that wrong. Ew. Vecna likes to watch. He's not just the god of secrets and necromancy. He's the god of voyeurism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gross. Seraph Sans Seraph says, Nothics are nice. Burbalangs are better.
I'm not sure what a burbalang is, so I don't know.
Deacon 6322 says, Merry Christmas, boys.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
We celebrate Christmas, but happy holidays to everybody out there. It's over now. Happy New Year.
It is.
It's the New Year's over too. Fuck. We're recording this on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Howdy 4504 says, I love that they keep the laughs in for Ilion and Beern. I'm sure I'm spelling that wrong, but oh well. Yeah.
Yeah, we improvise. We just come up with like a very, very rough outline of like, what do we want them to do? All right, let's go.
Yeah. And I do love, I keep the laughs in. It's very intentional. It's easier not to edit them out, but also
it's intentional.
Like,
I don't want to do it.
There's some Ilion Beerns that take more work than others, and
that's
like,
true.
The laughs do get. I think I edited a laugh out that I really liked because of canon, and then I put it in as a clip at the end of an episode.
Oh, nice!
So watch out for that. I do put bloopers at the end of episodes sometimes. Usually it's us fucking up the intro, but lately, like, there's now an opportunity for us fucking up Ilion and Beern that I can put bloopers at the end for. You did spell Beern wrong. It's B-E-E-R-N, but I'm not mad about it. I think it's really funny that, like, no one can figure out how to spell it. It's B-I-A-R-N, which is actually really cool as, like, what are they called? I always forget the name.
Anagram?
An anagram of my name,
yeah.
Which is nice. I do spell my name with an I, so thanks. Zrodin says, I noticed that Nothics are mostly used to spill the beans on character background that a player hasn't been dropping hints about. They haven't been playing the background, so it's clear that the DM has to intervene to make sure that that part of the plot gets exposed before events totally kill other characters without explanation. I mean, that's one way to do it.
It's one way to do it. I've never done it that way.
Have a conversation
with
your dude.
And it is something I usually have to do all the time with you guys.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
But it's fine. I don't mind.
You can just talk. Just talk it out. So, Magic 725, that's magic with a J, which is the way it should be spelled. These guys just need a year of monsters and get all this flirting out of the way. That's fair. But you like flirting. Ser Nunos lives. Says, I hope Wizards of the Coast doesn't recognize you guys here. Pinkerton agents hate publicity, and we love poking them. I mean, I don't love poking the Pinkertons because they're scary. But if you do that, good for you. That's fun. Fuck them. Fuck all of them. Not really. I mean, I feel bad for the Wizards of the Coast people. They're kind of just like at the whims of Hasbro.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. It does suck.
If there's a Wizards of the Coast ex-employee that wants to come on the show, fucking we would love to have you. Friday Movies 2924 says, have y'all done an episode on the Briganox yet?
No.
I feel like you'd love those little guys.
LMAO. I don't know who they are or what they are, but I mean, I'll find out.
They kind of remind me of the kobolds from WoW.
Okay.
Which is World of Warcraft.
Don't Pickats. Know that much about WoW kobolds.
The WoW lore is great, from what I can tell.
I mean, I know a bit about WoW lore here and there, but and it is good. But Arthas and as the Lich King and all that other stuff, that's all very interesting.
Wes, what the fuck? Well, it's Wes WTF 2562. I just like saying fuck. Says, this episode is absolutely great and not for the lore. We do get up to some fucking antics in the Nothics episode.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not that Harrison says, my headcanon as DM about to have his party enter Ithrin is the arcane blight is an infection disease of the weave from the far realm due to Ithrin's meddling. Who's Ithrin?
I don't remember.
So both of the lore on the Nothics is true. They're an infection from the far realm that exposes wizards to arcane blight, but you have to be an arcane caster to catch it. Bard, wizard, maybe warlock, and sorcerer too.
I find it really interesting that this episode in particular, people felt the need to really bring the origins together. There's a lot of episodes that we do where there's conflicting origins, but this is the first time people really felt the need of, no, we'll bring them all together.
That's true. Yeah. And I can kind of see why, like, how they can be looped in because of, like, the you can do whatever you want with Far Realm is
right,
what I'm getting here.
Right.
I don't know. Nathan Thaxton, 7492, says, it's a Christmas miracle. It's because this episode aired on Christmas.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I had it done before then, so I don't care.
Yeah, we recorded it way before then, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the regular episode aired the week before, but the YouTube one aired.
So we've actually
on
had quite a few episodes air on Christmas because Christmas is always be landed on a Monday.
Yeah, I think the cycle has two Mondays in it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, next year it's on a Wednesday, and that fucking sucks. That fucking sucks.
Why does it suck?
Christmas is on a Wednesday. A lot of people don't get Christmas Eve off or the day after Christmas.
Right, yeah. That sucks.
That just fucking sucks.
That does suck.
I do not like Wednesdays off. Like, when I have to work a five-day week.
Yeah, it's a weird hiccup in the middle of the week.
Taking the whole week off.
You can't even really enjoy it, yeah.
Arcana Vorsman of Vault 2637 says, Merry Xmas, and thank you for the gift of your podcast.
Yeah,
okay, back to episode
welcome.
74, because I am watching them all in order. Oh, yeah, we're seeing your comments all over the place.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Arcana Vorsman Man of Vault. Oh, Arcana, I don't know. The word Vor threw me off, but Man of Vault. Okay, got it. Well, Merry Christmas, and thanks for binging the show. Hope you're enjoying it. And continue to enjoy it as it evolves throughout the years. Every 100 episodes or so seems to drastically change in format, or not drastically, but subtly changed in format. DrakenX88 says, a great Christmas gift. Thank you. I have loved the Nothic ever since I played Lost Minds module.
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's a Nothic in that. I've never played it. So
Again, thank you. Great show.
But a lot of people have, and you got to remember a lot of people's first introduction to 5e is through the Lost Minds.
A Phandelver,
yeah.
There's Nothics in that?
There's a Nothic, apparently.
Oh.
I've never played it. So
I don't know. I usually get to the part where there's the big cave. I don't know. I just sort of like take that adventure and run with it every time I run it.
Right.
Walupoth, hello again, says, Nothics seem very much like Magic Cyclops golems. Down to being a corrupted version of a humanoid and loving caves and being creepy, lanky, nasty dudes. Yeah.
There you go.
Grandmaster Rodimus 1480 says, fuck a new edition, not giving Wizard of the Coast or Hasbro any money. They do not deserve it. Fair enough.
Also, it's not going to be a new edition. I honestly think it's not going to be anywhere close to
it. It's just
going to
be a re-release of the books with updated rules and like a consolidation. And that's like a money grab in its own way.
But also the edition, I kind of needs it. So it's like, it's a useful thing.
It will be useful, but the way you dropped a bunch of bullshit along the way,
and
like different books sucks.
Yeah.
And it's a money grab. Sharks and snakes are okay. Sharks and snakes are okay. I agree. Hey guys, Nikolai here. Being a long while since watching an episode. Sorry, but had to take a break from D&D for a while, but now I'm back. Well, welcome back. Sharks and snakes are okay. You're okay, too.
Indeed.
There's a reply. I had taken a break from D&D that lasted a whole edition. It was fourth, so it doesn't count. You've awakened a beast.
I take.
I shouldn't have read this reply.
It certainly does count, but I mean, it's fine. Also, glad you're back. I guess
it's none of my business.
Or he's fine.
Thanks for watching the show and interacting with the content. Mulgra says a true Christmas blessing.
Cool.
MLS 4444 says Merry Christmas. Oh, and Sharks and Snakes Are Okay are back. It says thanks and first. They had the first comment.
I'll always remember them as the fourth edition haters.
No, the person that replied to that is the fourth edition hater.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's Sir Nunos Lives. Oh, who commented earlier? Sir Nunos, you fourth edition hater. They didn't say they hate fourth edition. They just said they skipped it.
And so it doesn't count.
But they listened to our show, so maybe they've realized that they made a mistake.
Maybe.
That's it for the comments on the Nothics episode. Thank you guys so much for interacting with the show in that way. It really does help. Leaving comments on episodes is a big deal. So thank you guys. Leaving Apple iTunes reviews is a big deal too. Now we're going to record the Ilion and Beren you already heard, and hopefully it's fucking awesome.
Hopefully.
And then Will's going to go eat burgers.
Very much hungry.
Did we do our normal plugs for long rest?
We did, yeah.
Okay, cool. Bye.
All right, we'll call again. Talk to you guys later.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.